let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I don't know why I become shy. I get around a whole lot of people, and I can't figure out why I never can shout about the love that floods my soul. Well, I must confess, I can't express the feelings deep inside me, but the things I know and cannot show one day will overflow. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Shout so loud, it may sound like thunder. My tearful eyes may fill the skies until it looks like rain. When I leave this world, gates of pearl, and stand before my Savior, I'll let my soul glory roll. My name. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. Of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna get carried away, carried away.
Thank you, Scott. We was getting to leave Sunday school. Scott said, pray for my voice. He said, I'm singing this morning, and my voice just isn't there. And Scott, I was praying for before he started. And then as she sang, I was thinking, you could ask, like our class could ask, and I could ask. Now, Lord, wait a minute. Scott, he prepared, and he willing to sing, and we prayed that you just kind of take care of that voice thing and everything be perfect, Well, that wouldn't hardly be in some ways the Bible, would it? Because you know what happened? Scott, you know your voice did that? It didn't change the power of the song, the message of the song, the glory of the song, or anything about the song. It just really showed you like me, clay feet, amen, to have to do that. So thank you, Scott, for doing that. Love Scott. Scott's my Sunday school teacher, and excited next Saturday morning. Now, I know some of you may have waited on next Saturday morning. We worked yesterday, and we got some work to do this next Saturday. You may be waiting for this one. It might be a little easier job. Maybe not really, though. But next Saturday morning, starting about 9 o'clock, we're going to have care group training. And I encourage you. Now, I'm coming, and this type of thing really helps the church, helps the pastor, helps class, helps win souls, a lot of things. But I'm coming next Saturday morning for Scott. He's my teacher, and he said we need some care group leaders, people to get involved, and so that's why I'm coming. I'm not coming as pastor Saturday morning. I'm coming from a Sunday school teacher. I encourage you, if you're not involved in Sunday school, it'd be a great time to come next Sunday. We'll be all mixed in. It won't be a certain class segmented. You ought to come, but just about how to care in the name of Jesus, and so I encourage you to come, and come for your teacher. Don't make your teacher be there next Saturday morning and nobody from the class be there. Now, I tell you what, we may just start calling if you do that, amen? Just calling you out, but come for your teacher. Come for Jesus, and we're excited. Pray for Brother Aaron. He's going to be leading that segment off, and we're excited about that next Saturday, so remember that. And just a word of thanks for all the prayers and all the workers. We had the most fun I've ever had cutting up tree as in getting firewood all my life. And when I grew up, my dad had, and some of you here had those or your neighbor had them, my dad had a firebox that sat outside, and it was surrounded by this tank of water, and the water ran into the ducts in the house, and the ductwork, and he heated the house during the winter. But that doggone rascal also heated the hot water instead of the hot water heater running. We burned wood year-round. And every Saturday morning, I thought, you know, I'd get out of school, get my own job, which didn't have my own home, but get my own job. I ain't got to do this anymore. Me and my brother, every Saturday morning, we had to get firewood, y'all. I mean, I could not stand it. And I have to say, there was a little bit that yesterday morning. Y'all right? I got up thinking, oh, my goodness, this is going to be work, you know, and hard. And man, that's the heaviest thing I pick up during the week. All right, man? At least that's what some of the men like to pick at me when I show up work day, Sandy. I mean, I didn't mean to call that name. This came out. But we had an awesome time yesterday, and thank you all that came. How about 16 plus? We had a good time. We just had a ball, amen? Had a ball, helped Brother Dennis out. Pray for Brother Dennis. Wave at who don't know you over there. Give me a wave over there, Dennis. But Dennis has got surgery coming up on the 3rd, and as anybody knows, got a home. All that we did could have let go to later on, but it just makes you feel good to clean up some stuff. He had a dead tree and some other trees. We went in there and had an awesome time. So thank you for all the workers, and thank you for being there and y'all that brought things. And we even had Brother Chris, is a good friend of his, came over, brought some equipment and helped. And I made a commitment to him, Chris, yesterday. I said, if your family, your church family, needs something, you let us know and we'll come help you. Amen. To do that. But I have to tell you one story about that, and it's so awesome and what it was able to happen. But at one point, almost done, and don't forget this, y'all. We met basically 7, 8 or 8 to do that, and by 10 o'clock, we're basically done. 2 hours, okay? 2 hours. God taught me in the Gideon ministry years ago. On Saturday morning, we'd go up to Hilltop, and we'd eat breakfast. And then we'd have a time of Bible reading and praying. It's where I learned to get on my knees. Those men at that table in that little room, they would move the chair. I know what was going on the first time. They moved the chairs out and we'd pray. I thought you just got on your knees if you really had sinned bad or somebody was about to die or sick is what you came to the altar for. Really, I thought. So they taught me to pray on my knees. But I never will forget that, you know, those Saturday mornings, man, I'm like, y'all, most all of y'all, I worked, you know, in Charlotte, I went before it got left for daylight and got home after dark, amen, and Saturday's my day, amen, my day. And I learned real quick it weren't my day, so I'd go do that in that ministry. And you know what I learned? Going and doing that, and sometimes we'd go to the jail, take a little longer, I could get more done after giving a little time to God on Saturday morning. I get more done those Saturdays than any other Saturday that I ever had. I remember one Saturday I said, I can't do it, got a problem at home, got to fix it. I'm not going, and I stayed home, and everything fell apart. Everything fell apart. So in doing that yesterday, we were almost done, and I realized this, and it just gave me cold chills thinking about it. I told several of the folks that were helping out there. But now, here's the picture. Picture 16 people pile up in your yard and to do some work. I mean, it was on, okay? It was like fire ants coming out of a hill. And it was getting done. And it reminded me one time I had a neighbor last year that his lawnmower had broke down and didn't seem like he was ever going to get fixed and the grass was that high. Got my daddy's tractor and bush hog, and I went over there and I just was surprised and going, boy, I hadn't been mowing hardly long at all. Here comes somebody showing up. You know what they want? They want some bush hog work done. They want to pay me to do some bush hog work. And I said, I'm just doing this for a neighbor. I don't do this for hire. You know, can't pay me to do it. I thought about yesterday. Be like somebody, oh, what an opportunity. Somebody come up, Mr. Loretta, and say, hey, how can I get this group to come to my house and do a day's work in 2 hours? You can't. How much do I have to pay you? You can't buy it. You can't buy it. It's free. It's like salvation. You can't buy it. We live in a world that we want to buy everything, work for everything, do everything. So what happened, Dennis, you can't buy that. You can't purchase. There ain't no price that we don't charge. And Jesus Christ, I'm already preaching. Jesus Christ, don't charge. It's free. Amen. And so that's what next Saturday's about, care groups. That's what church is about. It's about serving Him. Amen. Loving one another and helping one another. So thankful for that this morning. And thank y'all that came and y'all that prayed and couldn't come. And you come at other times. And just thank you so much. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. I got so caught up in that, I feel like I'm forgetting something. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 129. Psalm 119, verse 129, longest book in the Bible, the Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 129. If you're physically able, stand with me for the reading of his word. This message has already taken about three different directions, at least two, may again today. So pray for me. Scott, you pray for me. I pray for you singing. Pray for this. Psalm 119, verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. Now focus in on verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Dear God, I pray this morning, and this excites me to no end, has this entire week to be reminded that you tell us in this passage that the entrance of your word giveth light. And I pray, dear God, that as we preach about and as we look at your word and as we share your word and read scripture today, I'm so excited to know that you promise that it's the entrance of your light coming into our hearts and minds. I've just read your word, so that means that there's been an entrance of the brilliant and great light of dear God that's flooded into this church. And Lord, we'll leave here in a moment taking your word with us. And go. And as we enter into places to eat and we enter into homes and we go next week, that if we'll have your word on our lips, that it'll be the entrance of light into a dark world. Lord, I'm so thankful for the power of your word and the entrance of that word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Look there with me in 130. Just practically, I'm going to tell you why I love verse 130 so much. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. So it's telling me that every time I hear his word, I hear it in a song, I hear it preached, I hear you quote a verse, I see it in your life. Every time I open up the word of God, there's an entrance of the light of God into an old dark mind and soul that can still get dark. Even though I know Jesus Christ, I can have dark thoughts and make sinful decisions. And so there's an entrance of light. And it says, it giveth understanding to the simple. And I find myself so often being that, amen? If I'll just be reminded, let my pride go, let his humility come, that I'm just a simple man, and I need the entrance of his word to light up what's going on in my life, to give me understanding that I need for everything that comes our way, and a lot comes our way, amen? So just practically, I love that verse. We've been talking for the last few weeks about the whole idea of not missing out. And we've been looking the last few Sundays about not missing his word. So, by not missing his word, we mean I don't want to miss any of the entrance of his light that he's trying to send, that word that we want to miss to go in to give us understanding we need. We talked about that walking, not miss walking with him, just a daily walk with him. And I encourage you, really a daily walk with him has in that day at least, I hope, one precise time, if not more, that you have the entrance of the light of his word into your life. You have a devotion time, a quiet time with the Lord God. No matter how busy your day is, either do it real early or do it when you get home late, whatever, do it, carve out and walk with him in his word. We talk about not missing the water. He parted the waters and he made a way. I mentioned him helping Brooke last week with just kind of nothing changed, but she kind of parted some waters and got her through the week. Mentioned about watching with him in prayer, and there's just nothing more wonderful about watching his prayer. I wish I had a picture, and I love photography. I guess I kind of a hobby of mine. I don't get to do as much as I like to. Cell phones help that out, amen. And I had found my family just picks at me. They don't need to search things to pick at me about because I create them myself. But I found a little app for my phone, and it's called Notability, and you can journal a little bit, which I don't do very good at because I journal on this paper and this post-it, and I never organize it, but you can do it on your phone, but you take a picture. And I'm like, well, I need to, and I'm always taking a picture of things, you know, a sunset, a sunrise. If Sandra contends they're all the same. I contend they're all different. That's just how we're different. But I said, well, snap a picture of a person, something, and so I needed that picture yesterday because Chris was, and I told those guys, I was just overwhelmed and kind of a little aggravated for the past of life, because when I was growing up, praise God, we got past a wedge in splitting wood, amen? And then he bought this wood splitter, and it was on a I-beam, and it had a motor, and you pull that handle, you know, that's what Daddy or Grandpa did, they pull the handle. And me and my brother got, and we rolled the wood. You know, you got to pick the wood up, and then it splits, and it falls into, pick it up again. We build ramps and roll it up. They come flying in there yesterday with, you know, common sense. The thing is mounted like this, and you just roll the wood up there and put it on. Somebody pulls a handle, and it falls. I mean, it's easier. One point, Chris is over there on his knees, and he's getting wood up. Hey, preacher, I do my best work down here. I love that. Wish I had snapped a picture of it, Hilton. You know, we do our best work watching with them on our knees. Amen. Man, I'm just telling you, get in the habit of, and I find myself doing this, and sometimes I have the privilege of just, man, I need the entrance of some light, the entrance of this word, and I'll get home, and I'll get on my knees, or I'll have a long day and get in my study, or I'll be riding down the road, you know, just kneeling in my heart, and I just watch him with him. I've been talking about not missing those windows of heaven, and I've been trying to give you a little glimpse of the idea of the Bible says that, you know, if you'll tithe and give offerings, that he'll open the windows of heaven and he'll pour out a blessing upon you. And kind of doing our 10 weeks of, you know, beginning to tithe, the recommitting, and it's been amazing, some testimonies you've given. So I'll give my short one this morning. This is so funny, Tracy. I just, to get to use this, only God can do this, but I'll just give you a testimony about my tithe, very practical testimony about tithing. This morning I got up and I had meant to get up a little earlier. Anybody ever done it? Raise your hand. I meant to get up a little earlier, but I didn't. The bed felt kind of good for some reason after yesterday. Didn't get up, and when I got up, my dear precious bride had a couple of things I really knew last night needed to be done, that she needed done, but I just kind of ignored them, and I could use the excuse, well, she didn't say anything about doing it, Randy, so now, but now I'm in the morning, it needs to be done for her Sunday school. And I'm thinking, whoa, And I knew all week in my notes and everything that I kept, and I'm in trouble. When I've got kind of outlined and notes and things, and even though sometimes you feel like I don't have them, you know, I'm just trying to follow God. But if I start writing notes and writing in, I'm kind of know something's going on. So this morning I got up early, and I finally got into my desk. I'm out there, and I just kind of did away with what I had, and I was kind of working, putting together, trying what God had done. Hilton walks over and he says, "Dad, you just now finished up your message?" Well, son, I'm, you know, kind of a change here this morning. And so, I worked through that and got everything done and rushed over here. And I got in here and, you know, and finally got ready to get started. I had forgot to write my tithe check. You know, man, forgot to write my tithe check. So I'm sitting here, you know, and so I get to Sunday school. And I'm thinking I'll do it after Sunday school. And I apologize, Scott, for running out for a minute, you know, during that early time, because I'll forget it. I'll just forget it. So I went out, and my billfold was in, it's on the internet, I guess, it robbed me, but my billfold's out in the Jeep, and I keep an extra check in my billfold, amen? Just in case I need to do something. And David often has to do a tithe, so I ran out there this morning, and I stood there by the door, you know, and I wrote out my tithe check. And I brought it in, I took it at the back, and I put it, and I apologize for Tracy being late, you know, I put it in there. Got that done. As I left Sunday school a minute ago, I was coming down the hallway, and my wife's waiting at the door of the nursery where she spends all her time holding a blank check. She said, you gave Tracy two checks. So there was checks stuck together. That's scary. That's what my wife said. That's scary. I mean, I thought I took a check out of my billfold. I guess it like that come together like Post-it glue and survived all that. Tracy even had it in the check count. So you know me, I just got to find some way to spiritualize things and make it biblical, interest of light. So I came running, I came in over here, and I came to Tracy right down here, and I said, "Tracy, I said, that first check was my tithe check. I said, that blank one was my offering." Y'all get that tonight later on. The Bible speaks of the windows of heaven, tithes and offerings. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome to really meant that? This morning, it was giving me a look like I'm in college, and I told Marty, reminded me of guys on, I think he was on the second pew, and he stands up one Sunday night, and he says, "Preacher, I got a word of testimony." Said I was a young man and all I had to my name was $20. As I was in church one night and the Holy Spirit moved upon me and I gave that $20, just all the money I ever had, preacher. And I'm here to testify God has been so good to me and done so much for me. And I'm a millionaire now. And I give God all the praise and honor and glory. I gave it all to him that night. Sitting right here is a little, sweet, precious lady. And she says, I dare you to do it again. So, the windows of heaven. But this morning as we look at the word and not missing the word, look again at that verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Whenever you see light in the Bible, it should immediately draw us and be reminded the importance of the light, the need of the light, almost being desperate for the light that comes from the word. It's because of the darkness that's in this world. So hold your place here in Psalm 119 and go to John chapter 3. And I apologize, Sunday school class. During Sunday school, Scott took us to John 3. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, I need to tell you to put a mark here. We're going back and give a head start on the rest of the church during Sunday preaching. But John 3 and verse 10. And let's listen to what Jesus says in this passage about darkness. John 3 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? It's the whole idea of not knowing and even understanding that we're seeing there in Psalms. Verily, verily, I say unto you, these we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I can tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's talking about the image of his crucifixion coming. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we like to stop there. We love John 3:16. We love John 3:17. But often we stop. We must read on in verse 18. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Now look at this. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Look at that in verse 19 again. Light came into the world, and that's Jesus talking about himself. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Is that not a picture of this world that we live in? We live in a world where men and women and boys and girls, they love darkness rather than light. Amen? Several things that I would hear during the week is what was kind of changing the message from where I was at earlier in the week. But as I began to think about this darkness and this love of darkness, and that we truly do live in a world that there's darkness. I mentioned Wednesday night, darkness, there is no such thing as darkness. What darkness is the absence of light, okay? You can't create darkness. All darkness, darkness isn't the thing that God created. Darkness happens when there's an absence of physical light. And when there's an absence of the spiritual light of Jesus Christ, then that's when darkness creeps in. So the less light, less entrance of his light that we saw in verse 130 of Psalm 119, the less entrance of his light you have, the less light you have, the more darkness you have. The more shadows, the more darkness. And Lord willing, we may look at that a little more next Sunday. That's where I was going today. But I began to realize, if you look with me and think about, go back to Psalm 119, verse 130. Find yourself back there for a moment. You may have stayed there. And then just look directly back at verse 105. In verse 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God is saying, in the interest of the word, it's going to be very simply a word that will become a lamp for our feet, and it will be that light that will light the path that we go forward. I make this statement, I'm convinced of what's going on. It can happen to any of us any day. It's going on all around us, but here's the problem. There's too many feet stumbling in the darkness, amen? Too many times our feet, too many people's feet might are stumbling in the darkness just through the day, through their life, through their decisions, through everything that's going on. So not only are there too many feet stumbling in the darkness, as verse 105 makes about a light that's going to light our path, there's too many dark paths that are being walked down. Amen? And we seem to live in a world that our political system and our court system and the habits of just people, even good church people, by the way, are creating more and more dark paths for us to walk down. Amen? There are dark paths we're walking down that some years ago, not even that many years ago, would never be thought of. There was a time on Sunday you would just find nothing open. There were even laws about being opened and what could be sold. But now you can go out on a Sunday morning or Sunday anytime. It's no different. There's a lot of dark paths, amen? It's a dark paths of when the Supreme Court changed the definition of marriage. By the way, they didn't change the definition of marriage because God established it, but they legally tried to set a dark path, amen? You listen to your political candidates running for president and other offices. If they're not on the path, if you can't tell that person, that man or woman, is having the interest of God's word, lighting their path, not only will their feet be stumbling in the darkness of this world on their own, but they will come into power or want to lead in power to help us create more dark paths to go down. But it's easy to talk about that, but we should all personalize and say, what is it, what darkness in our lives is causing spiritually our feet to stumble? Some of the time we're stumbling over the same things. For some of you, it's the things that you look at online. For some of it, it's your language when you get around different groups. For some of you, it's things that in their self made up nothing wrong, but you're spending more time with that. And what are you stumbling at? It's a habit that you've got. It's a dark path that you knew that your mama and daddy or your friends are telling you it's a dark path, but you look around and say, well, other people are walking this path, and this path seems to be okay. But hey, a dark path is a dark path, amen? So what are the paths you're on? Every one of us could take some time to identify and say, you know, here's just a thing of darkness, and I'm just going to, and if I'm not sure, I'll say it might be, and I want to identify in prayer the coming, is this some where but my feet keep stumbling, that I could get some light into it and take the darkness away. Or a path that's dark that I could light up. In Matthew 6:23, the Bible says, but if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? So here the Bible is talking about a great darkness, and there is great darkness that Satan wants to envelope our lives and bring into our homes and our churches and our world. Luke 22:53 says, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus Christ painting a picture there that, hey, I was down at the temple, by the way, every single day. I'm only encouraging you to come here 4 hours a day, 4 hours a week, probably should have 4 hours a day, 4 hours a week. One on Wednesday evening and three on Sunday morning, okay? Jesus daily in the temple. Wonder why we walk in so much darkness, amen? But he says, while I was doing that, you didn't do anything to me. Now you're coming to grab a hold of me. And he says in that verse, it's your hour. And this is the hour. Satan's the prince of the air. This is the hour. We're under the church age, under the grace of God. But it is the hours of darkness and evil. And that's why it's so rampant. That's why you feel sometimes so beaten down as Christians. And he uses the word the power of darkness. And there is this power of darkness that is prevailing. We need to understand it and realize it. Yeah, you remember, you think about the phrase in the dark. Every one of us can say that we've come upon a situation, we're just in the dark. Didn't know a thing about it. I got some kind in my mind now that I don't even want to rethink about. Just in the dark. You ever been in the dark about something at work, Kevin? That's in the dark, dark. Everybody's some in the dark about something with your family? Man, Wayne, I didn't know that was going on. You know, get that call or some family member. I'm just in the dark. When I think about that phrase in the dark, and when I think about the darkness of this world, one of the best illustrations that came to mind I could give you was several years back. My father's health had been declining, and it really declined kind of rapidly. He'd had a stroke, but he'd done really well. But his health was declining. He ended up in a hospital bed in the living room, and going to the hospital was a regular event. Fluid built up. Some trouble would happen, and we'd end up at the hospital, you know. And we pretty much knew most of the time what was the results of what's going on. I'll never forget this day as long as I live. And this day, it was one of those opportunities. I don't know. I was there. I don't know what Mama was doing. And Mama just took the whole load, by the way. Don't take anything out of this. But it just happened to be one of those opportunities where my dad's in the hospital, that Presbyterian Hospital Matthews, and they're going to take him down to the testing area, I call it, where you can get the MRIs and the ultrasounds, and all the testing happens. And so they, you know how it is. You've been there with family members yourself. You're on that bed, and they roll you to an area. And so we're rolling down to that area, and as we get down to that section of the hospital, I can see it just as vividly as day. God just really, I think, pricked my spirit, and I began to notice. It was so crowded, we were in the hallway, as there and my dad. And it wasn't in the dark what was wrong with my dad. My dad had a stroke and his heart was failing. I mean, I knew what was going on. But all of a sudden, and I really think God, you know, sometimes God will open your eyes. This stuff's all around us, but you just are too busy or too caught up. And it's like my eyes were open. And all of a sudden, here comes this gurney down the hallway. And you've got a work guy. Know what kind of work he did? How was work clothes, Rick? Okay? Rick sees these people all the time. You can see on his face as if he was in the dark of what was going on. You know what was going on, but he got there, thank goodness, and they're taking him to the testing area, and the questions are, what's going on? What can be done? What's happening just in the dark? And when you're in, and I noticed others, other was sitting in the hallway. I'm glad I could be with my dad, but just alone. They'd rolled them down there, and you could just see on their faces, Kim, they're just looking like, you know what, they're just in dark. What's this skin going to show? What's going to be? I'm just in the dark. And I saw other people. I saw some even being rushed in, I believe, Rick, that had come by ambulance, and they're moving them ahead of people. But still, this the darkness of what, you know, even if you're injured in a wreck or something, you're in the dark. In some cases, even Rick, with all his knowledge, can be in the dark of everything that's going on inside. And that's why Rick and the doctors need to get the scans to say, what is going on, to reveal that from the darkness. And in every case, what are you doing? You're waiting on a word from God. No, you're waiting on a word from the doctor. Just waiting on a word from the doctor. Is there any? You get back to the room. You want them to tell you. They can't tell you because the doctor's got to read the report, Jessica. So you're in the dark and you're just waiting. Is there a word from the doctor that got back? Because I'm in the dark and I just want to know what's going on. And when I think about that example, I think about that. Do you realize that church, not just our church, but every church should be a spiritual hospital? That we come in here sick, amen? And that we bring the sick in with us. I came in here this morning with some sickness, with some darkness that's creeped in during the week because of the absence of different maybe light that I need. And I can come to the spiritual hospital here, and I can come and maybe in the dark about what is God wanting? What's his will? What's going to happen physically next? Because far more important, Miss Patton, what the doctor says is what Dr. Jesus says. But to come in here this morning physically or spiritually sick, and that be what church, that's what church is to be. As we often say, a hospital for sinners, not a hotel for saints. I never forget years ago, and they had the old Carolina's Medical now, Sharp Memorial Hospital, old kind of hospital, but I remember the first time I walked in the lobby and they had redone the whole hospital, and I walked, many of you have been in that lobby, and I walked in, I said, this is like a hotel. Man, this is fat wood on the walls and plants. I said, this is like a hotel. And unfortunately, a lot of times churches get that way. They get so big and beautiful and so much going on, they forget that we're a spiritual hospital. Where we come from our sin and how darkness has continued to creep in the preacher's life and in the deacon's life and in the Sunday school teacher's lives and in the choir's lives and in all week. And we come here, and what are we wanting? What Psalm 119, 130, we want the entrance of his word to come in and light up things. Amen? That's why we came. And I got the image of thinking about that. What we need to be is we, as we leave here, when we see, here in the spiritual hospital, it's Dr. Jesus. And his word gives us the light, reveals the darkness of what's going on. I've seen many people that, you know, they found the darkness is gone. They find out their sickness is cancer. But there's a peace about them and enabled to move on and enabled to, Linda, it's almost amazing. See, we want to know, amen? Just tell me what, God, reveal what's going on physically so we begin to attack it and pray about it and go forward, amen? Much better than being in the dark. Same thing spiritually. God, just show me my sin. Just show me the darkness. Reveal it so we can get on with the light, amen? So as we come to the hospital this morning for that, as we leave here, we need to be the first responders, amen? We should leave here as the spiritual first responders in a dark world. Thank God for first responders, amen? It's wonderful when you get everybody there, when you got the paramedics, you got the ambulance, you got everything. But I remember on several occasions in my lifetime when I've been in a situation, one night at church, a man was having a heart attack, and thank God we had some people here. But I remember at home that oftentimes, Rick, what it is, it's a first responder. It may be just some old volunteer boy that just gives his life to serve. I believe he oftentimes served the God through what they do. And they show up at the house long before the ambulance and the fire trucks gets there. And man, they've got their kit that I'm sure a lot of them had to pay for themselves. Amen. And they're the first, and we're the first responders going in a dark world. And I'm reminded of that so practically, y'all, even this week. In cases where people will tell me, man, I got, and we all have this, got a friend or a family member, and then maybe they used to walk in the light, something happened in their life, and they're walking in more darkness, and hey, and they don't want you talking to them, amen? Because when you come up, it's the entrance of light, and they don't want to hear the light because they're enjoying the darkness. Remember what we read in the Bible? It talks about loving darkness. That shows that spiritual darkness is most often not something that you would be repulsed by and say, oh, I'm not going into that darkness. I mean, you take me out tonight to some way out place in the country, to some abandoned building or house, and say, preacher, go on in. I ain't going in there. I don't want to go in there. And the only way I'm going in there, if I've got to, is I'm getting me the biggest and brightest light I can find. Amen? We don't, but see, darkness, he said there's a love of darkness. So remember that, the people that you're talking to, they're in love. You see it as black and darkness and danger and all that's going to be stumbling and happening because you've had that light come into your life. Your friends and family members and your coworkers, they don't see that. They're loving the darkness. Because remember, it's just the absence of light. Me and Davey are riding down the road and we're talking about this very thing. We're talking about, you know, I found oftentimes what happens is somebody gets in trouble, and even when they want some help out of the darkness, they'll oftentimes, they'll really push away the preacher and the church people and the godly family members, because you know why? Because when you speak to them, you're the entrance of light. Y'all don't miss this. Be careful. You know right and wrong. Be careful if you're very easily welcomed and can be around and it causes nothing to change around darkness. Because when the interest of light comes, that darkness has got to go. And when people are in love with their darkness, they don't want your light coming in. Amen? They don't want your light. I'm often convicted. I'm always praying. I'll say these kind of spiritual things. Well, I don't want to close the door before God opens it. Well, be careful what I say. And the longer I live, the more I serve, I'm like, you know, no, no. I found in my life, if a bright light's coming my way, I know it. Amen? I know it. So be encouraged today, because many of you, not right, if not even right now, in the past, you're saying, man, I'm trying to reach out, and they don't want the interest of light because they love their darkness. John 12:46, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. He said in John 8:12, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, that's the picture. We connected the lamp for the feet so we don't stumble personally. We saw the word being that light for the paths. And Jesus Christ is saying, you ain't got to walk in a dark path anymore. And by the way, y'all, when you're walking with others in this dark world, they're going to see your light. And I'll close with this. I think what's happened to us, don't we all love when the children come down front and sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." But you know what I found in this dark world we live in? For a lot of adults, they just still satisfied with the little light. The kids sing the song because we're trying to teach them about the big light. But you can't be an adult and still be going. And some of you may be there, "Oh, I just want my little..." It ain't a little light. Amen? It's not a little light like the children sing about. We can't be satisfied with the little light, because what you get with the little light reminds me of Revelation when God says he'd rather have us be cold or he'd rather us be hot, and he doesn't want us to be lukewarm. You know what you get from a little light? You get lukewarm heat. Amen? When Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, is a great light, the greatest light, an overwhelming light, he is the brightest, he is the largest, he is our everything. In 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13, it says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then the face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. And now abide of faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." There's too many church people. They just say, "I just want my little light to shine." It's kind of like this. Yesterday we got out, and there was one tree down, had so many people, trees started falling everywhere. I mean, there's limbs everywhere. I was just a good limb-toting servant. That's all I could be. But the word came up, "What should you do with all these limbs?" You ever haul limbs? I can't stand to haul limbs. Somebody said, "If we could build a fire." Then I said, "We can build a fire. Got a spot." Now, here's what I didn't do. I'm thinking, "I ain't got nothing to start a fire." Dennis said, "I got some paper. I can't start a fire." I go over to Randy, and I'll say, "Randy, you got anything to..." Now, this is what I didn't say. Randy, "Do you have something that we could start just a little bitty fire? If we could get just a little bitty fire out here in Dennis's backyard, that'd be enough. Just a little one. Just a little fire." Now, I went to Randy. I said, "Randy, you got anything to start a fire?" He came prepared to burn a lot. He said, "Oh, I got it. I ain't going to say what it is. Somebody might be super spiritual in here and not like what we did. But we started a big fire. And I'm telling you what, there was a big bright light burning in his backyard. And I'm sure we had a permit, okay? It was big and bright and burning. And when you went to tote limbs to it, amen, what was it? You could feel the heat coming off that thing. And that's what it is. When the light of Jesus Christ, when you let the entrance of his word bring light into your life, you get, man, it fires you up inside, and you're a bright light to go out. And I'm telling you, every time sometimes I get near that fire, and I'd throw some limbs in, and I'd turn around, and them little ash things are flying up, and they land on the back of my neck. Whoa, kind of burned me. That's what I want to be, amen? I want to be somebody that's so excited about Jesus, had the interest of his word just happening all the time, getting to be that bright light. You know, people go hunting for a fire, amen? People go looking for a fire, amen, Rick? People get in the way of the fireman looking, that's it. I want to see what's burning over there and let people get near us when we're on fire. And hey, they don't want the light and they're turning back. Hey, and it's like them little things is burning their neck, amen? And they're saying, "Whoa." And it'll either draw people away. Aaron, I call Aaron a fire tender. I think Aaron in common is somebody, he likes burning stuff. Pray for him. He might need counseling. Here's what I mean. All mostly that most of us did is we piled limbs on the fire. And we went back. More limbs. Anybody want to leave here today and go get some limbs? I'd like to drag some limbs back to Sunday night service to the fire. We burn a fire here. We start a fire here every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And we'll drag some limbs to the fire. Well, Aaron, though, he when he put something on,
he'd take time right there in the heat of the fire to throw that edge stuff. It's burning in the center, that edge stuff that's not on fire. Working all around that fire. Wouldn't you like to be that spiritually? Because from time to time, you pastor, you deacons, you Sunday school teachers, just family sitting on the pew here. It's not burning real bright. Kind of on the edge. Need somebody help them get back in the brightness. The entrance of his word, amen, gets you back in the brightness. Would you bow with me? Where are you at right now spiritually? Do you feel such a brightness of Jesus' light burning in your heart and soul that, I tell you one thing that you will notice about it, you're already ready to come to the altar. You're ready to go out and find some limbs. You're just on fire. He's in his word this morning. He's in Sunday school. You're on fire. And you just want to come and you just want more. But maybe this morning you're on the edge of the fire. It's part of the time of your life. Man, he's burning bright. But not too bright right now. You need the Holy Spirit to fan your flames. But maybe you're here. There's no light. It's darkness. You feel darkness in you be honest, you feel darkness in your mind, in your soul, your heart, your life. It's just dark. You don't sense any light. You don't sense any fire, any heat. You're lost. And you need the light of the world, as we read, to come into your life so you don't have to walk the dark paths anymore. And I beg you, in a moment, Jessica's going to lead us and Kay's going to play. And it's a hymn of invitation that you can come out of that darkness to light. Come from the edge of the fire back to the center. Or just ask him to keep your fire burning bright, because it may be burning bright this morning, but as I sense mine is, or oftentimes this week, that my fire weren't burning too bright. What's your need? What entrance of his word do you need? I encourage you to come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jessica, would you lead us?
Okay, grab your hymnals and turn to page 638. I need thee every hour.